Making copies.
Making copies. What is that from?
That's an old Saturday
yeah,
Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live. My mom used to always say that. Making copies. Moms love SNL.
Yeah. Oh,
who doesn't?
Me. I like old SNL, I suppose. But maybe that's just because I was dumber when I was a kid.
No.
We all were.
Was it better? Was it better then?
It was.
Chris
Farley?
Yeah. To quote our friend Mickey, SNL went downhill when they replaced all of the cokeheads with theater kids.
Ah, yeah, that's good. I like that. Should we talk about the State of the Union?
Yeah, sure.
It's apparently strong.
It's the first one I've watched in a long time.
Yeah.
Mainly because I wanted to see if he would fall asleep during it or something.
No, he was on speed, dude. Yeah, There's no way that guy was not on crank. I don't know if apparently the Adderall shortage has not reached the White House.
I liked how he began. He like sort of like grimaces and looks around. He's like, if I was smart, I'd leave right now.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. It was weird. I mean, the highlight of the night was him shouting about illegals.
Yeah.
Which was prompted, right? By like...
Yeah. So here, I'm going to roll the tape.
Smuggling fentanyl into America. That's killing of children. This bill would save lives. And bring order to the border. It would also give me and any new president new emergency authority to temporarily shut down the border when the number of migrants at the border is overwhelming. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... You're saying low. Look at the facts. I know you know how to read. I believe that given the opportunity for a majority in the House and Senate would endorse the bill as well, a majority right now. But unfortunately... politics has derailed this bill so far. I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by, if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing.
So that's what he said about this person, Lake and Riley.
Wow, he's just really leaning into Republican talking points.
Yeah, like, just shouting illegals.
And thousands of kids killed by them, I think, or people killed by them, he said.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess somebody's kid.
The mumbling through, Brittany, you were saying that, like, it's clear, clear he's on Ritalin or something because, like, he's talking faster than his brain can keep up or something.
Yeah, his brain can't keep up with his mouth. So he's just, like, spilling out words at a rate that, like, he can't keep up with.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. It's very strange to watch. I also want to talk, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene looks like she and six other Congress people agreed to dress like that, but then she was the only one who showed up dressed like that. That's what she looks like.
I didn't actually
see
how she was
dressed. Head to toe in MAGA.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
right MAGA here. Gear. Let me pull up a picture. I know this is an audio format, but she's got the goofy
hat that I think it says, like, 45 on it or something. She's got, like, all sorts of shit decked out on her, and she looks like a TGI Fridays server.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
She's wearing a t-shirt that says "Say Her Name," referring again to this person who was killed by an illegal. So,
no human being is legal.
No human being is illegal. Yeah. It was pretty fucked up. I don't really have much I'll say about it. He didn't really talk about Israel that much.
He did say that we're building a pier.
A port, yeah. We're building a big port on the sea in Gaza. Guess who's going to be guarding that port, by the way? Guarding the construction of that port.
I don't know who.
Israel.
Oh, well, then it'll definitely get built. So I'm sure it'll
go fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be used for exactly what he's saying it's going to be used for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, wonderful.
The unloading, like, 200 trucks full of stuff from a container ship is like, you're talking about a really big port. You're talking about, like, you know, something like a, you know, like a shipyard, which is not going to just manifest overnight. Like, you know,
which even suggests that no ceasefire is coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
It also suggests that, like, that is going to be one of several permanent, like, Israeli
installments
in Gaza. Which, I mean, a two-state solution has been off the table for a really long time, but it's like, I don't know how you can keep saying it and then be like, and also we're going to build this, like, enormous port run by Israel in Gaza, but don't worry, eventually it's all going to be, you know, meted out into, like, these different, like, completely friendly liberal democracies that will just, like, talk to each other all politely and stuff. Like, I don't know. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. All material evidence suggests that there's going to be a complete displacement of the Gazans from the Strip. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, almost all of the buildings are destroyed. They are dying of famine. I am regularly horrified by what is shown on the morning news. Seeing a child's face that has died of malnutrition
is horrifying.
I saw these pictures of babies' legs
that
were, like, withered. I mean, it's really, the imagery coming out of it is just so horrifying.
Very disturbing, very disturbing. Yeah, I even, like, CNN has started to, like, turn. I saw something where they, like, they did a very strange kind of memorial, I guess, is, like, where they just, like, put, like, it's like a changing number, it looks like the Matrix or something, you know, like, on these screens, and they're like, each one of these is, like, a dead child.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a ton of screens going all the way down, just, like, all these flashing numbers, which is just, like, so strange, because I guess they just, like...
It's a really weird way of abstracting human suffering.
Yeah, yeah. And it just seems like they were in a meeting where they're, like, they disagreed about the number that they were going to use, and they're like, what if we just scrambled the numbers? And it's the scrambled number that's the... like, the thing that represents a kid. It seems very... like in like a committee was internally divided of, like, how to do this or something, but it's a but I mean once also, like, there was, like, a CNN reporter, like, talking to, like, the Zionists, like, at a checkpoint, and, like, just saying these, like, outwardly genocidal things. Like, it's the same stuff that we've heard for a long time about, like, if it's, like, your kid versus my kid,
I'm gonna choose
my kid, and that means
killing your kid.
Yeah, killing your kid and, like, stopping aid trucks from getting in because they all go to Hamas or something. And it's like, it was just like, and the CNN reporter was like, you're trying to do the unbiased thing where she's like, don't you see how, like, people could read that as heartless? You know what I'm saying? Trying to say that, you know, and they're like, no. And it's like, it's so disturbing, really disturbing stuff.
This morning I saw some protests that were getting, like, the protesters getting their shit kicked in by the IDF. And those were the ones calling for, like, an end to the war, as well as, like, you know, an end to Bibi Netanyahu's rule, and, you know, calling on the end of the war, not just because of the need to get the hostages back, but also just, like, stop the massacre and genocide of the Gazans. And that is something that, like, the Israeli state is, like, internally cracking down on, like, pretty aggressively.
Yeah.
And now there's these airdrops.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, it's a totally impractical, expensive,
too little too late
method of delivering aid to Gaza, but they're dropping food out of the fucking sky because Israel and Israeli protesters are not allowing aid trucks into Gaza and
using all the stuff that we gave them. So
right.
So we're like we're trying to get around
ecstasy.
Yeah, right.
There are raves happening at the border.
Yeah.
And this airdrop is so far from an undisclosed country. The United States claims that it was not ours, so but we don't know what country this recent round of airdropped aid came from. But one of the parachutes on the pallet failed, and the pallet killed 5 children and injured several other people.
Yeah. Because it's like 50-pound bags of flour falling from the sky. You know,
they're
like,
huge. Yeah, you see the pallets, they're pallet. Enormous.
A pallet of 50-pound bags.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a ton, yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Must have been the Houthis.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, those Hamas rockets must have shot down the food or something.
Yeah.
Right. There was a hospital underneath it. I don't know.
I saw the video of these pallets falling, and it looks like terrifying.
Right?
Even the ones with the parachutes that work.
Down pretty fast.
People are running away from them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, running to them.
Yeah, and getting trampled.
It's just a fucking slaughter. Like,
There's just so many contradictions that they can't keep up now. It's Hamas. It's like keeping the food for themselves, but we're going to drop in more food because we can't get it in, and we can't get it in because Israel. But Israel is also the one that cares about the lives of the Palestinians.
Yeah,
not
the whole
Hamas.
Narrative just falls like, completely apart.
It's like nothing fucking makes sense from any of these like State Department ghouls that are giving press conferences. Like none of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's because those aren't the reasons why this stuff's happening.
Right. Yeah.
Very clearly other reasons.
Yeah.
All this is happening.
Yeah, it's really, really fucked up. And now here at home, there's these, we're finding that the FBI has all of these, like lists of radical anarchists and Aaron Bushnell's on it.
Yeah, so the FBI has promised to crack down on left-wing anarchist extremism, calling Aaron Bushnell's, final act, an act of extremism, despite the fact that nobody else got hurt. I mean, it is an extreme act.
Yeah,
certainly.
He said so himself.
Yeah.
But like, calling it an act of political extremism has a certain connotation that you
like
have caused violence to somebody else. Which is clearly not the case in this instance. But they have promised to up their surveillance of and cracking down on left-wing anarchists, particularly those in the military. Which we know is not really, like, the problem of left-wing extremism in the military is extremely negligible.
Yeah.
No matter how hard we try.
Particularly compared to right-wing extremism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this, like, just, of course, this insane comment comes from Senator Tom Cotton.
Yeah.
A Republican from Arkansas who asks stuff, you know, like, you know, so it calls Aaron Bushnell's death an act of horrific violence that was in support of a terrorist group, i.e. Hamas, and that he went on to ask about the Defense Department's internal efforts to address extremism and whether Bushnell was ever identified as exhibiting extremist views or behaviors. And that he's like, very concerned about, like, what's going on in our active military that we have these extremists in it, which is just like, again, it's like, even if Aaron did want to hurt anyone, they had a gun trained on him before they had a fire extinguisher.
Yeah. And the record shows he didn't hurt anyone other than himself.
And had no intention to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This piece from The Intercept, you know, one of the things that I find very disturbing about this is that they keep talking about these violent extremists, but they never define violence and they never define extremist beyond just repeating the ideology of anarchism, which is very dangerous because anarchism, it is legal to be an anarchist. Let's see here. How do they define it?
Yeah, so there's like five threat categories that the FBI has used since 2019 to describe domestic terrorism. There's racially or ethnically motivated violent extremism, anti-government or anti-authority violent extremism, which has the funny acronym AGAVE.
So yeah. Anarchists are all agave.
Yeah. But then there's animal rights or environmental violent extremism, which is like, you know, which you would think would be the one that was really into agave, because they're like, the bees didn't make that honey for you, you know. and then abortion related violent extremism, which is very funny because it's like abortion related. It's not like
both sides
have extremism, and then there's just a catch all other domestic terrorism threats. So it's like, I guess, so, you know, like there's some sort of organization that thinks that the government's stealing all your left socks, you know, like that would fall under that one.
Yeah. So this internal FBI threat advisory defines anarchist violent extremists as individuals who consider capitalism and centralized government to be unnecessary and oppressive, and oppose economic globalization, political, economic, and social hierarchies based on class, religion, race, gender, or private ownership of capital, and external forms of authority represented by centralized government, the military, and law enforcement. So they're just, and I haven't read the entire FBI advisory. I only read what The Intercept reported on, but you'll notice in that definition, nowhere is violence. So you're essentially defining an ideological category that is not inherently predicated on violence as a violent extremist.
It wants to destroy the state.
Yeah.
The state, you know?
But like, thought crime is not a crime.
Also, the state isn't like people, you know, like, I mean, it is in so far as it's an organization, or it's organized by people, but it's a structure of organization. Yeah. It is, you know, it can't cry.
Yeah.
It can't feel pain.
A former Attorney General Barr wants to know why there's such robust programs for white supremacy and militia extremism, but a significantly weaker anarchist extremism program. I mean, yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. Food Not Bombs, like, doesn't pose a threat to the government.
They haven't done a coup yet.
Yeah, so, yeah. They don't have, like, shipping containers buried in, Arkansas full of guns that they're going to use. I don't know what the... Yeah, they didn't have, like, caches of weapons stored around Virginia on January 6th. I don't know. Like, that might have something to do with
it. Yeah, I mean, like... When was the last, like, act of anarchist violence in the U.S.? Like, McKinley?
Right, yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, it's been a little bit.
And no one even liked that president.
Yeah.
It's true. Well,
that's why it's so dangerous.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah.
Because they're sexy.
Was McKinley before FDR? Because an anarchist did shoot FDR.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
He didn't keep.
Yeah. He didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Because FDR was too robust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frick, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Arkansas@gmail.com. When was the last instance of significant anarchist violence? Let us know.
Oh, homie that it didn't self-immolate, but did like the gun version of that at the border concentration camp.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah,
that's,
yeah,
again, tried that's to not do, violence.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, he shot up the propane containers and tried
to do like a John Brown
sort of thing.
Yeah.
Vince Bronson. Yeah,
Vince Bronson. What an action movie name right there.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of the military.
Yeah, that's a good transition.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Good
thank
as
you.
Any, yeah.
So Kathy has deployed 750 members of the National Guard to New York City subways.
Why?
This is in response to a few high-profile killings in the subway system that have happened in the last couple of months.
I think a big part of this story is just the Streisand effect of those. obviously, you know, like terrible and tragic things happening. Like, I wouldn't have known that those had happened if she didn't, like... mobilized in that.
I mean, you'd probably know if you lived in New York City.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sure. Yeah, but she's the governor, and now I know that crime is bad on the city subways up here, and I'm a voter. You know, I don't know. It just kind of seemed a little like, pay attention to this. I don't
know.
And also, isn't that like, you know, the job of the NYPD? Like, don't they already, aren't they like the fourth largest military in the world or some shit, and they're already patrolling the subway like crazy.
She says that this was to cut down on overtime pay, to not have to pay NYPD overtime to roam the subways.
And deploying the National Guard is cheaper?
I guess so.
It's someone else's budget, maybe. It's yeah, like a federal budget or something.
It's the state. It's the state's National Guard, which is... a little
which
weird.
Is a contradiction in terms. It's not
should be the New York State Guard.
Yeah, should be a state guard. But yeah,
should be a well-run militia,
well-regulated militia. Yeah, but it's also. I mean, I could imagine there's few things more expensive than NYPD overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just look. You know, you look at the cost of homes in Long Island, and you know, you just have to imagine that.
I don't know if the National Guard is unionized, so that might have something to do with it too.
Yeah, NYPD overtime is racks up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars per. I think it's like some NYPD officers can get like over $100K in overtime in a year.
Yeah,
it's just so inefficient. I mean, why don't they just like put turrets with guns in the subway cars? And then they can have eyes everywhere. They can eliminate any threat anywhere, and no overtime.
No overtime.
Yeah,
right? I like that. That's good. It's a great idea.
But also,
Kathy, I hope you're listening.
Also, the MTA has its own police department, so it's not, that's.
So they are also deploying 250 personnel from state and MTA transit police. Okay. So they are. So it's not just the National Guard. So altogether, it's going to be 1,000. People deployed to search bags, basically. And, you know, I understand. The thing is, do most people carry guns in their bags? Like, is that how this violence is happening? Is they're like reaching into their backpack and pulling out guns and shooting each other? Like, I would think people are carrying guns on their person and they're not doing like stop and frisk proper. Like, they're not actually frisking people, as far as I can tell. They're just searching bags randomly. But yeah, this is a huge violation of civil rights. She also wants to prevent violent felons from using the transit system in New York City.
Like at all.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Yeah.
Like, which you need. So the question that follows is how are they going to do that?
Yeah.
Which means ultimately you're probably going to have to use your state issued identification to take any transit, which I probably don't need to explain why that's bad.
Yeah. Also, it's just insufficient. So they're going to have to go the way of OpenAI and get the orb. That is this lovely decoration on my table.
The orb is looking good,
And it's going to have to be a retina scan. Like, you know, like there won't be, you can't hop the turnstile. You know, you got to like look in the thing and wink.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, no joke. They're probably thinking of facial recognition in the subway to like catch people, to kick them out.
Yeah, until the next pandemic, in which case they'll be like, oh, we facially recognize you, which means you're not wearing a mask, which means you're going straight to jail.
And masks are being outlawed in certain places across the country, too.
Well, thank God we're never going to have another pandemic.
Masks.
I mean, we're still in a pandemic.
Masks were illegal in New York until the pandemic.
Well, because of
the rent wars. Yeah. Did we cover that? I think we did.
We did.
Yeah. It's an interesting little fun fact.
Yeah.
Little fun fact.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Such a fun fact.
I think as leftists, we all understand that the dealing with the root cause of this would be like dealing with homelessness and just funding the subway system in a way that would make it safer, better, easier to use. But instead, we're just gonna
and understanding the sources of crime.
Yeah,
why are teenagers shooting each other in the subway?
Yeah,
because there's lack of other opportunities, economic opportunities, ways to spend their time. Like, there are all kinds of reasons. You know, poverty is the root cause of most violence. And mental health. And she did say she's also going to up like mental health resources or whatever. But who knows what that? It'll probably look carceral anyway.
Yeah.
So
it'll definitely make a profit.
So for someone, absolutely. Yeah.
So good luck to everyone living in the city.
Yeah. You should have the right to refuse a search. This is illegal search and seizure. Like, you cannot just randomly stop and search people according to the Constitution. And I can't believe that this shit hasn't made it to the court system yet and been struck down. Like, it's insane.
You would think.
It's insane.
Well, there's plenty of room upstate for y'all.
Yeah, speaking of.
Yeah.
Texans are moving to upstate New York in droves. And so far, they're loving it.
You know, they're going from the Lone Star to the No Star. That's where we are, the No Star State. We're the Empire State.
Empire State.
Yeah.
Excelsior.
Excelsior!
It's a little on the nose.
They are moving Excelsior, which means upward, right? Excelsior means upward?
Yeah, ever upward.
Ever upward.
Yeah, I mean,
upward.
If you bias toward hanging a map north side up.
Which I am, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, yeah. I like northeast. I mean, right. I mean...
Yeah, so these... I mean, if this were a story about any other country, these would be called climate refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a lot more...
they're political refugees, too.
And yeah, they're political and climate refugees. I mean, like, these people aren't, like, they're not using their last dollar to get on a Greyhound bus up here. Like, they seem like pretty middle-class folks. In fact, I know one of the people that are profiled here, and he's a huge asshole. But
oh, really?
Yeah. Which one?
Chris Dancy. I hate that guy. Chris Dancy, I hope you're listening. You were really mean at Theorizing the Web.
Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's such a jerk. Anyway, there's a picture of him pointing to a bucket of what is this, like, is, yeah, it's like a bucket of dehydrated food. I don't know, it's like in his basement.
Oh, he's a prepper.
The picture makes him look like he's a prepper. He's got like a Costco size box of Ziploc bags on the top shelf there.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he's a real weirdo. He used to be the most. He used to bill himself as like the most photographed man in the world or something. What? Like that, or like the, or like he or what? He would do like
some Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, he would do like some sort of like early cybernetic enhancement thing, you know, like put an RFID tag on his finger or some bullshit. I don't know, he's just really obnoxious. Anyway, I think he did something in Theorizing the Web, this conference I used to run, where he was like he said some really nasty thing about like pronouns, where he's like, I'm a cyborg, I reject all gender, and so therefore you can't assume my gender. It was something like really bad faith and obnoxious thing. Anyway.
So he's like the tech Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway, he moved. Now he lives close by.
Okay, I take it back. They're not sending their best.
They're not. Yeah. They're not sending their best.
U.S. Census data estimates hundreds moved from Texas to the Capital Region counties from between 2017 and 2021. Castiglione, who you can read an interview with him in my book, said affordable housing, relatively high median household income, and emerging tech sectors in the Albany area could be drivers. And it is could, because you don't really know.
It's the water.
Yeah, and that is what some of these other people say, is that a lot of it also has to do with this is going to be a pretty relatively safe area to live out climate change in.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep. Is the Adirondacks and a lot of potable water.
And a temperate microclimate, thanks to the Hudson Valley. And
They're welcome as long as they don't take their Texan-ass attitude of, like, you know, walls and borders barbed wire fences and all that kind of shit, because if we let your sorry ass in, we're gonna let other people in.
Well, that's what it sounded like. The politics, said Erica Wiggins, 34, who moved from the Dallas area to Loudonville with her mother Kristen Mara in 2021. They both agree, both her and her mother agree, that they moved here for the politics. It's after the 2016 election. There was more of an urgency, she said, adding that she knew it was likely Roe v. Wade would be overturned. And her and several other people just kind of would get away from this insane Christian fascist movement that's happening bullshit down there. Yeah. There's this other woman, Erin Sheffield. She was like, posting stuff to... She posted something related to being bisexual on Facebook.
She posted a picture from a pride parade.
Yeah, that's what it was, a pride parade. And the argument in the comments is basically, God will never love you. And then other people saying, just because she's bisexual doesn't mean she's also a Christian.
She's not a Christian.
And so like it's like just like two really bad arguments back and forth about, like, you know, no, God only loves Christians that fear him, but that just because you go to a pride parade doesn't mean you don't like fear an almighty God.
If God loves women and men,
yeah,
God's bi.
Think about
it. That's a very good point. Right,
yeah, think about it. there's also this very cute story of this bisexual woman.
Shit, God also loves all children.
Super sus. When she experienced her first snow in Syracuse, she put on two pairs of pants, two coats, a hat, and a hood. She'd spent good money on snow boots and was wearing was warned to bring sunglasses to avoid snow blindness.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah. When I first moved to New York,
it was like 30 degrees out.
Yeah. When I first moved to New York, from Florida, I had nothing, obviously, and I had no money. So I went to like Marshall's and bought a little pea coat like that's designed for spring. And the first year I was here, it snowed fucking. I swear to God, it snowed every day from Halloween to April. And I went to sorry for this like little anecdote, but I think it's kind of funny. I went to Florida for like around the holiday time and I parked my car in long-term parking. And when I came back, all I had was my pea coat and like a pair of tennis shoes. So I didn't have any winter gear and my car had been snowed in.
Oh no.
And I had no shovel. I had nothing. I had a little brush that you use for your windshield that I used to dig my car out. Cause when you go to the airport, they plow.
Yeah.
So they had plowed like my car in. Like yeah. Hard, oh yeah. My God. What a nightmare. So my heart goes out to the Texans experiencing their first winter. Get snow boots and a good coat if you can.
Yeah. And maybe it'll snow someday. In the future.
All it's done is rain lately. So, yeah.
We got like two, not even like 6-inch snows this year.
Barely. Right? Yeah. It was pretty crazy. So,
and last thing that I think worth saying here is that there's an entire, subreddit for, called R Capital Region X Texans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is, I had no idea that it was this, such a focused move, you know.
And New York is New York has been seeing declining population, people leaving the state. So hopefully there will be some kind of turnaround because that's really not great for the economy, for the tax base if people are leaving. So, hopefully this will help reverse the trend. The Capital Region saw something like a 2.5% increase between 2016 and 2021. So,
oh, interesting.
So it's a fairly good sign.
Well, these people are having a hard time finding queso.
Yeah, they can't find any good Tex-Mex. Yeah, that was one of my first challenges moving to the area was not being able to find good Mexican food.
Yeah.
Well,
it's getting better, though. We've seen several restaurants open up that we haven't even tried yet. We should try one.
That have good reputations.
Yeah. So.
Shout out to people living in the Capital Region. Go to Tren Maya Taqueria in Green Island. It's the shit.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's so good. It's authentic. And it's good to have like the Google Translator app open because the staff speaks Spanish.
Ah, well, that's how you know it's good.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it's really, really good.
Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress, spying on the legislative work that we do, spying on our staff, and spying on American citizens that want to come talk to their representatives. This government has turned into something it was never meant to be, and it's time to make it end.
Oh, gazpacho police. Holy shit. That fucking rules. Man, she is such an idiot. God.
Yeah, MTG is best girl. Just saying.
This just in. There is a new kind of soup Nazi. and it is Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police. She's so impressively dumb in a way that frankly we deserve. And is extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
Turn Congress into a reality TV show. Just do it.
Yeah. It's crazy that DC for the Republican nominating primary elected Haley for.
Yeah. That was unexpected.
Yeah. That's crazy. I guess like it's they suffered the riot. Like,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that happened there.
I'm sure that Republicans in DC are also like very quote unquote reasonable Republicans.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the so-called moderate, respectable Republican.
Moderate rebels.
Swamp dwellers.
Swamp dwellers. They're mired in the swamp.
Yeah.
Swamp thang.
All right. Do we want to talk about Letitia James?
Oh, yeah. Fucking juggernaut.
Yeah.
She's chopping heads, boy. Gotta protect your neck.
Yeah.
Letitia James. Fucking just unstoppable. Just constantly going after people and industries that no one else is. She won like $500 million civil verdict in the Trump real estate fraud case. Yeah. And now is...
Which will never be paid.
Yeah.
Probably not. Oh, yeah.
Do you have the article pulled up?
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's this company you've never heard of called JBS is the world's biggest meatpacking company. Did you think about that? Yeah. You've never heard of it before, and you've if you eat meat, you've definitely had their product, yeah. She's suing them for making misleading statements about its efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. She's calling it greenwashing because they make statements such as agriculture can be part of the climate solution. Bacon. Chicken wings and steak with net zero emissions. It's possible.
Which makes no sense. There's like your logic, your intuition should instantly tell you that that is not possible.
And they pledge to be net zero by 2040, despite the fact that, at least according to the argument that James's office is making, there are no proven agricultural practices to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. Is that as a quote from them?
Yeah.
And that is because there's just like, yeah, there's no way to do that. Mostly because it's very difficult to figure out exactly how many greenhouse gas emissions farming creates.
Yeah.
Right.
Known as the life cycle assessment or the LCA process is very, very incomplete for agriculture.
Yeah. Because like, whereas, you know, like, it's pretty, it's probably still pretty gray. A lot of gray areas, but like you can pretty much tell how much shit is coming out of a tailpipe or a smokestack, right? But when it comes to farming, you're thinking of like all the different ways that we fix nitrogen,
yep,
to make fertilizers, artificial, yep, fertilizers, and then like there's all these animals that are farting and shitting and pooping out of their doo-doo ass, and like that creates methane.
Yeah. Yep.
And then like how do you capture that methane? Do you fix it back into the soil?
You put a big vacuum above all the cows' butts.
Yeah. Right. No shit. Like that's like some like things that like people have tried. Like there's like all sorts of stuff that you try.
I'm serious, I'm an inventor. Yeah. Put a big vacuum over the cow's booty holes.
Yeah. And then run a power plant.
But there's just like all this stuff that you is that there's no like proven method of reducing all the points at which we know that we know greenhouse gases are emitted, and then there's other ones. There's a bunch of probably known unknowns as well to this. So there's
and
no way
you can, unknowns either.
Yeah. And so there's like no way that you can say that you're going to be neutral by 2040,
which
unless
is like
you have some secret military technology that we don't know about.
And this is just across the board. Like every single one of the biggest polluting industries in the world is like, oh, we're going to absolutely clean up our act. In fact, we're going to be like carbon negative in like 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And everyone's like, oh, like, thank you. Like, come to the COP.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, we want your input. You're part of the solution. And as far as I can tell, Letitia James is the only one to be like, no.
That is clearly a lie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one other takeaway from this is that, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, the less interesting IRA, does have several funding streams for hundreds of millions of dollars to improve the data and modeling of greenhouse gas emissions from farms. And the USDA says that it will ensure that future resources are directed to the most effective practices. But again, that's not the same as being able to give a precise timetable. And it's also it's net zero.
Which means what? Carbon offsets?
Yeah, it means you're going to go plant a tree in Bali or something. It's all those carbon offsets are a scam anyway. And so, again, the Southern District of New York against the falsehoods of global capital.
Yeah.
Or something.
I'm not gonna. So is she filing suit?
Yeah. So there is a suit filed against JBS, this gigantic factory farming agribusiness company, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So that we bring that up towards the end because this could perhaps be a wildflower in the making. I guess the best thing that happens is that they stop lying and they're like, no, we're just definitely going to burn the planet for bacon. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Bacon, chicken wings, and steak with net zero emissions.
Oh, God.
It's that sentence is just
probably possible. Yeah.
We're going to try to do that.
Yeah.
Should we get to our real wildflower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about beavers.
Beavers. Everybody on this podcast loves beaver.
We love them.
We love beaver. We love big beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Big Canadian beaver.
This is the world's largest beaver dam.
Damn.
Do you guys remember the show Angry Beavers?
I loved Angry Beavers.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norbert and Daggett. Wow, I remember their names. Wow. That's crazy.
Wow.
You
guys are staunchly anti cartoon as adults.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I'm not. David is.
Oh, okay.
I like a good adult cartoon.
Well, yeah, I like Bob's Burgers.
He likes some.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves King of the Hill.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
King of the Hill. Does that even count?
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's practically live action.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
That felt weird to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like your back cracking or something. You're like, whoa, that memory just came up out of the ground.
You got that little bit of acid that was trapped between the vertebrae that's now flowing through your system.
Right, yeah.
So this is in Wood Buffalo National Park, which is the largest national park in Canada. And it's the largest beaver dam on Earth. It was discovered via satellite imagery in 2007. And since then, only one person has trekked into the Canadian wild to see it. It's a half mile long and has created a 17-acre lake in this forest.
That's wild.
A testament to the beaver's resilience.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beavers. What industrious fellows.
Nothing can stop them.
Truly. Have you seen the videos of people who have, who do wildlife rehabilitation and they have little beavers in their homes?
Yes.
The beavers, dam up little doorways with, stuffed animals and stuff. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so fucking cute.
What an incredible natural, urge.
Yeah.
Fuck that doorway.
I have to block this shit.
Yeah. They hear running water and they're just like...
My arch nemesis.
Yeah, beavers fucking roll.
Yeah.
We got beavers up here too. It's really awesome to see them swimming around.
Yeah, they're so cute.
There's I think at least two beaver dams by my count that we can walk to in the Rensselaer Plateau trails behind our house.
Yeah.
And go. It would be interesting actually to go there now with all the rain we've been having.
Oh man.
See if their dams have been up to the task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they are. I'm sure they're probably solid. This.
Yeah,
this isn't the highest I've seen in the river, but it's damn close.
Yeah,
it's like
and the dams are close.
Yeah.
So this is a long ass article from Yale. I'm going to be honest with you; I didn't read all of it. I just think it's pretty cool that this dam is so big.
Hell yeah!
And beavers are making a real comeback.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thanks to the efforts of wildlife activists and researchers who have reintroduced a lot of beavers into the wild. So that's pretty cool too. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's good to reintroduce that wild beaver.
And it's also important because as these areas are drying up due to drought and climate change, beaver intervention is really good for these landscapes because mm-hmm. they keep water situated and, you know, can really combat the drying out of yeah. of these ecosystems.
Yeah. Biodiversity is a critical thing to be protecting at this moment when it's like the fastest decline in biodiversity like we've ever seen as a species outside of, I mean, as a species for sure. But like this is, you know, bringing back to the sixth extinction and like mm-hmm. the rates at which biodiversity is like disappearing from our planet is like bewildering.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, what was I just thinking of before? It was like, I don't know, it is something, like, you can, I think I'm getting to the age where, like, I can remember just more animals being around.
Yeah.
Sure, you know? Especially insects. Especially I really remember insects. There being so many more bugs.
Yeah, it is absolutely crazy that you can go on a road trip in summer and have a clean car.
And have a clean,
That ain't right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then why are there still so many freaking bugs in my house?
Yeah, well, what the heck's up with that?
What's up with that?
You guys are doing your part for biodiversity.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Did you know that if you find a spider and you put it outside, it is almost certain that spider will die within the hour?
Really?
Yeah.
An hour?
Yep.
They're very
sensitive to climate changes.
In, yeah, and temperature, yeah. especially. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're like all hydraulic and shit, you know, yeah. like they use like hydraulic pumps in their legs and yeah. stuff.
Whomst
and
amongst us.
They just stop working. Yeah, yeah. exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all up in that hydraulic shit.
He is.
Always pistons going back and forth.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's like H.R. Geiger shit. It's
yeah. Crazy. We're like, we are very, very wet, but very flammable.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is true. Crazy to think about because all our fuel is on the outside.
Right.
You
yeah.
know?
Like, yeah. No, not the best way to keep it. Well, but it also keeps us insulated.
Yeah.
Keeps us warm.
It does kind of double duty there.
Yeah.
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 So if you see a spider, just put it out of its misery. Don't take it outside so it can die a slow death with its little legs not working anymore. Just kill it. It's just a spider. It's fine.
Or just like let it rock, you know? Like, unless it's like a
you
can known...
keep it around if you want to. Yeah. If it's scary looking, I'm sorry. That fucker's got to go.
Yeah, like there's probably an app for that, right? Like a spider ID app.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably valuable to have because we do have brown recluses around here, which yeah. are like hella dangerous. Like I know a couple people that have had to get amputation from necrotic bites.
Yeah. And they can, they can infest your home.
That
yeah. Yeah. Not like not amputation like of a limb.
Yeah.
But like of a finger. Yeah. Or no, like an ear. And then there was like a it was like a patch of skin somewhere yeah, like on like an elbow or something yeah. that had to get gone because the venom spreads.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Check your shoes.
But yeah, if it's not a brown recluse, then like it's probably just going to like catch your, you know, sink gnat.
Or well, whatever. We have yellow sack spiders, which are also pretty bad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those are the most venomous spider that's native to New York, because brown recluses aren't native here. They've kind of infiltrated
like
our
Texans.
State borders. Like, yeah, like Texans and migrants. Illegals.
I can't,
fucking illegal spiders.
I can't get over the fact that Biden used
I
that
know,
phrase.
Yeah. I know. It's really just disgusting.
It's just like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, oh, I've read your playbook, and I adopt it completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, as if the border policy wasn't Republican enough, now we have to adopt their terminology, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we already covered that.
Yeah.
This is about beavers yeah. and how much we love them. I think that'll do it for this episode of Ironweeds.
Yep.
Hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to be out next week, but the boys are going to cook something up for you.
Yep.
Hell
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, Mom. I know you don't like it when it's just your only son and his friend. No, that's a disappointment for you that I'm trying to work out with my therapist.
But
yeah. I say let these boys cook.
Boys. I'm excited for you guys. I think it's going to be great.
Hell yeah.
I am taking the train to Georgia.
Nice.
And I could not be more excited.
The midnight train?
No, it's like 10
a.m. I've had that song yeah. stuck in my head ever since I booked the tickets.
Yeah.
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 Midday train.
Midday train to Georgia. Yeah. Yeah. It's 21 hours.
Nice.
So I will report back on how that went.
You got some good books?
I do, but I almost never read on these kinds of trips. I'll probably watch a bunch of TV.
You gonna crush some candy?
I might crush a little bit of candy.
All right.
I found this game that's like a cross between Spelling Bee and crossword puzzles. If you are a New York Times gamer, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's very fun.
Does it like say the word out loud? Like, did you have to wear like headphones?
No, Spelling Bee is a game where you get a bunch of letters and there's like a middle letter that has to be in every word.
Okay.
And you just spell as many words as you can.
Oh, okay. So it's like Boggle.
Yeah, a little bit.
Shout out to
Boggle.
But this is like a dumb person's version of Spelling Bee. Like, it's way easier, which I like, because I can't do Spelling Bee. I'm terrible at it.
Fair enough.
I'm very good at Wordle and connections, but not so good at Spelling Bee.
Do you guys fuck with crosswords?
I love crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
But I only do the Monday through Thursday, because the Friday, Saturday, Sundays are way too hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm too dumb.
I could not crossword in the beginning of this year, and now I'm really good at it.
Nice.
It's a skill you develop.
Yeah, it
like,
really is.
You have to like.
It's also like a language.
Yeah. You have to understand like what the fuck the clues mean.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like the difference between a long stay and a long stay. The question mark completely changes the nature of the clue.
Yeah.
I love crossword puzzles. But I'm too dumb for the Sundays.
It's a good team activity.
Yeah, David and I like to do them together.
Yeah. We did a lot over the holidays.
That's our holiday pastime is sitting around the tree doing crossword puzzles together.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listener, I hope you have some holiday pastimes you'll enjoy
Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, every day is a holy day.
Every day is a holy day. Because God is all around us.
Yeah. And he loves everybody, including kids.
Sus.
Little sus.
Yeah.
Little sus.
I hope you're enjoying the John Birch Society. If you've listened, the episodes are now going to be released regularly on Fridays from here on out. So the first one's already out.
It's very good.
And yeah, hope you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah,
if you have any feedback for me, let me know what you think about the series.
More. And
if you think it can be improved. I'm already working on the next one. I'm also still working on the bonus content for this one. So,
oh, hell yeah.
But yeah. Hopefully, I will be much better about producing content in Year of Our Lord 2024.
You're doing great.
Last year was pretty dry.
So. Yeah, just as you predicted. You're coming back, and everybody's having to watch the fuck out.
Aw, thank you. Yeah.
Your mobility is doing really great, too.
I'm on fire. Yeah, I'm practically the Terminator when it comes to physical health.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter.
Ironweedspod.
And on Instagram.
Ironweedspod.
And you can send us an email if you'd like to at ironweedspod.
@gmail.com
Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Peace.